The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. Jesus said to them, "Why are you frightened and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. Well, grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Why are you frightened and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Why are you frightened? You know, fear is sometimes realized. I think that has happened for most of us. But often our fears do not come true. They don't. Fear is a powerful emotion and it has the capacity, the true capacity, to paralyze and diminish our faith. It does this time and time again. It shows up in our Bible time and time again. Do not fear. On Monday, I drove to Thermopolis, which is always a wonderful and beautiful drive, for our Wyoming Conference pastors retreat. So there are 13 pastors from the Wyoming Conference met with our Bishop of the Rocky Mountain Synod. And in the open statement of kind of the statement of our synod that our bishop shared with us had to do with this emotion that we find in our gospel. Fear. Fear. He said, traveling all around the Rocky Mountain Synod, we have been embracing, or not embracing, but looking and hearing about stories of fear. Fears of decreasing worship attendance, fear of decreasing Sunday school, fear of decreased budgets, fear, fear, fear. And all of this is around the assumption that there are not enough people to go around to support our ministries, which the bishop says is a complete illusion. But somehow we allow fear to be real. And as pastors, we talked about fear was kind of an underlining conversation that we had those 3 days. And in our conversations together as a group, we did not fear decreasing numbers. What we feared is the churches and also ours as well as pastors, the inability to see God working differently in the world. It's our inability to see God working differently in the world. I mean, think about it. Has fear increased our church's inability to see God working differently for the sake of the gospel, for those who aren't experiencing Christ today? Has fear taken away that gift? I mean, like I said in the beginning of worship, two things that Jesus says the most after the resurrection, peace be with you, and what is the second one? Do not fear. Jesus says, do not fear, time and time again. And Jesus had to say that time and time again because Jesus was operating in a total different way than God was ever operating in before. That this was completely new. I mean, when Jesus rose from the dead, amazement was an emotion certainly those disciples experienced, but the second most emotion was fear. Fear. Because God conquered death, because God rose from death, they experience fear because it can't be. This can't be real. You see, the church kind of is a broken record, don't you think? I mean, there's one great meme that the pastor was greeting people on the way out of church, and, well, you're talking about the resurrection again, Pastor. I feel like you're in a rut. And we can kind of get into that broken record, can't we? That God rose from dead to give us life. But yet we hear this time and time again, and we continue to experience fear. And we did a check-in. How is it with your soul? Was the check-in question for all the pastors as we sat in a circle to share our ministry, to share also a little bit of our personal lives. And all ministers were experiencing levels of fear. All of us. So I really struggled what I was going to write for a sermon on Thursday morning, so I guess I'm talking about fear today. Yay. Well, we have a plethora of fear to go around, don't we? I mean, think about the fear of death, right? I mean, the only thing that we're more afraid of than death is public speaking. I heard somebody say it's true. I don't know if you guys know this, but my dad died when I was 15 years old in an oil fire accident. My mom died when I was 29 from ovarian cancer. So fear of death is real. My kids don't know my parents. So I've experienced death, and I constantly need to manage that fear in my own life because I don't want them to experience what I had to experience as a young child. So I can carry that fear of death so that my kids won't have their dad like a backpack. I can carry it really well, and it can be a burden. I mean, we have been given the promise of life again. So why am I carrying that fear of death on my life? We've been promised life again. A hospice nurse wrote this book, or a book, on death. If you don't know, hospice ministry is a ministry where you have a very short time to live. Wonderful medical staff takes care of you to help you die well. It's a beautiful ministry. And this hospice nurse wrote this book on death, and she shared this, that people of faith were often the ones that were experiencing a higher level of fear than those of no faith. Yeah. I had to read that twice. It's like, I'm pretty sure I'm reading this backwards. I mean, I thought, doesn't, again, the gospel of Jesus conquering death offer us the hope that when we face our own death, we have no fear? But she shared in the book that people of faith are concerned if they can inherit life. And that's a big word, if. For some reason, we know of the gift, but we can't believe that it's ours. We can't believe that Jesus died for it and rose for it. People of no or little faith, she said, they kind of just left it up to chance, like it was, well, if it's true, great. If it's not, eh. Another one that we talked about up at the conference was the fear of failure. And we spent a lot of time on this one. I mean, if we can be honest, the majority of congregations that pastors as we have served are afraid of failure. There's a lot of fear with failure in congregations. We have one congregation in Wyoming that looks like they're going to be closing in the next couple months. And so that decreases our number down to 12. And so this pastor talked about her ministry, and she said, it's hard not to feel like I failed. And think about that congregation. I mean, the congregation feels the same thing their pastor does. They feel like they failed. What did we do? We failed. But the other side of this fear of failure is there's the reality of failing, right? That it feels like failure. But the other side of it is that fear of failure keeps us from doing nothing. You see, congregations often don't want to risk to fail, so we err on being safe. Right? I mean, think about how many times we have done that in our lives. We didn't want to fail in front of everybody, so we played it a little safe. I'm only going to do that which I know that I can do. On my first call, I was the pastor of youth and family and outreach. And our youth and family team wanted to do some different youth and family ministry. I think this was year two that I was with them. And I was all on board. I've only been there for 2 years. These people have been serving in the trenches for decades. And so I said, sure. So this volunteer said, I wanted to create an environment for our youth and family ministry team where our kids are serving. So she planned a wonderful event. And what happened? It failed. Very few people showed up. And how do you think she felt? She was aghast. She was angry at God. She felt like she failed. She felt diminished. But something happened in that congregation before I was there. That congregation created a culture where fear wasn't empowered, where failure wasn't empowered. They created a culture of risk-taking. They created a culture of daring. So what happened the second time she led that ministry? It went well. We had kids that came, and we had kids that served. So Pastor Wes, he's over in Cheyenne. His wife is at the congregation that is struggling right now. And he shared this. He's a great theologian. He said, what is important is what follows after the mistake, after the failure. What is important is what follows. Not what was done, but what follows. I mean, what follows? Is it shame? Is it embarrassment? Or is it the will to try again? The will to keep risking. I mean, congregations have an important role on how we respond in failure, with failure. It's a major role for us to keep building each other up, to keep building up the body of Christ. And all around the circle, as we talked about fear and we talked about failure, at this pastor's conference, all of us told stories about how we have failed. It was almost comical. It was like we are a bunch of misfits. I mean, all of us around the circle, time and time again, how we have failed trying to do ministry in the congregations, where we have failed trying to build relationships in our faith communities, where we have failed. And you have seen me fail, and I have seen you fail, and if I haven't, I know at some point I will. But what is important is how we respond to that failure. I mean, after all, how many of you have failed an exam? How many of you have failed a driver's license exam or the driver's license test, right? We have a show of hands. That was awesome. And all of us have failed at relationships. All of us. Whether you're married or not, all of us have had some kind of failure in relationship. All of us. So how we respond to failure is huge. Well, another fear that is, I think, difficult for us as God's people is fear of renewal. Renewal. Renewal is hard work. I mean, that's death and resurrection. Renewal. I mean, changing a core piece of who you are or who you thought you were, changing that core piece within you with renewal is demanding work. It's painful work. It doesn't feel life-giving. It feels like death, to be honest, when you experience renewal. I mean, every job that I have started in my life, it didn't matter if I was starting in the grocery store at 15 or the call that I received here. This fear of renewal, that will I have the skills needed for this call or for this business? Do I have the skills needed to flourish in this place? Every job that we've had to go through, there is this period of renewal where you have to grow beyond yourself. I mean, every person I have ever hired, I knew that they did not have every gift needed in order to flourish in that place. That they had to experience renewal and growth, and they grew into that position. And it's no different for pastors. I know I show up and it's like, hey, I got a few gifts for this, but I know I don't have all of them. I'm going to have to grow into this. So fear of renewal can be difficult work that, again, if we allow fear to hold us, we never will. I mean, think about the disciples. I mean, think what Jesus did for them, trying to renew their lives, to renew their faith. I mean, constantly they are either having no faith or little faith, or they're full of fear that Jesus is trying to renew their life and bring them back to that vigor they once had. Well, the last one I want to talk about fear, fear of tradition. I don't even know if I want to go any further. In all of our congregations, we have wonderful memories and wonderful traditions. If I took each and every one of you out for coffee and I asked you what are the top three traditions that are just deeply important for this congregation, those are wonderful stories to hear. But sometimes when I hear conversations about traditions, it's something that happened 30 years ago that's no longer happening today. So sometimes those traditions don't really feel like hopefulness, they feel like helplessness. I mean, every church I've served has had wonderful traditions. Wonderful traditions where we celebrate them, we can lift them up, they are really places of great joy. But every place I've served, and I think we could speak for all congregations, but when we are afraid to begin new traditions, we aren't allowing God to stretch us and take us to places where we haven't been before. And so there's two spaces we stand in, the gift of tradition and the gift of creating a new tradition. And when my dad died and when my mom died and married a stepdad, we had to create new traditions. It wasn't easy. Again, at times it felt like death, but we created new traditions. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, in the beginning, those disciples felt like their ministry failed. They needed renewal. They felt that this tradition that God is going to come and wipe away all those in power failed. And Jesus offered them a new tradition. This tradition of life-giving for the sake of the world. You see, God shed them of fear, and this is where the early church began. I mean, think about those disciples sitting in a closed, dark room. I imagine that it was cold because you're not letting any light in. Imagine the fear within that room. And Jesus entered their fear and renewed their hope. Well, I want to share one last moment at our conference. So there are 13 pastors stood around the circle for 3 days. Talking about ministry, the joys and the struggles, talking about our personal situations as well. And Brenda, who is one of your interns here, she's the dean of our Wyoming conference, and she asked me to lead the words of institution for communion. And so I asked all the pastors to rise like we always do, right? But I did something different. I asked them to also say the words of institution with me so we could say it as one people. And I said, with the words of institution, let's start out with a whisper, and by the time we're done with the words of institution, let's be yelling and proclaiming. And so we did this. And with all the fear that we talked about the last 3 days, when we raised our voices with the words of institution, it's in that moment we had no fear of failure. We had no fear of death. We had no fear of renewal. We had no fear that tradition was lost. There we experienced Jesus. And Jesus said, "Peace be with you." Amen.